You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Great variety
of
music,
different music,
tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Well, if you don't mind, I would that you would share with me in the reading of the Word today. All right, we'll begin reading Philippians 4 and 6, and then verse 7, beginning now. Be careful. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How relevant, how needful is this word today to the body of Christ to remind us, as we are in the world but not of the world, how every time we attempt to do good, evil is always present. That there are naysayers and haters and doubters all around us who would desire that we not follow the course of Christ for our lives as believers. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi and to the believers at large to encourage them, but also to instruct them on how to handle their troubles. And he starts off by saying, be careful for nothing. When the word was written, it was written with the Greek and Hebrew having 12,000 words. The English word only had 6,000 words. And so many times in the word, there are many different words and definitions for the word. This is one such word. Careful here does not mean careful in the sense of being careful. As we know the word in the English language, to be careful, meaning that you're watchful and that you are cautious and that kind of thing. It's talking about the very opposite. This word, when it says careful in this context, means not to worry, not to be anxious, not to be fretful. Now, as a believer, God, through Paul, is saying to us that we are not to be worried. We are not to be anxious. We are not to be fretful about anything. Anything. Well, how can this be, preacher, when we have problems that arise that we can't do nothing about, problems that we did not manufacture or produce on our own? How can this be that we cannot be worried, anxious, or fretful about situations out of our control? Well, first thing I need you to understand is, if you can't control it, why worry about it? That there's nothing you can do even with worrying about it. You know, don't be like the woman whose husband said to her, baby, why do you worry about everything? Everything, everything. The woman looked at him and said, what do you mean, why do I worry? Because I can't help but worry. And the husband looked at her and said, but worrying doesn't help. And she said, oh, I beg to differ. She said, about 90% of the things I worry about never come to pass. Oh, it helps. don't be backwards like that. You know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of the things that we worry about does not come to pass. The enemy plays with our mind, introduces thoughts that would tear down the word, the will, and the way of God in our thought processes. He wants to make sure that we don't trust God for his word, that he introduces doubt, and he introduces fear, and he introduces the whatnots and the ifs of life. But when God speaks, the people of God ought to know that's enough to settle our concerns about at that moment. That's why you got to know the word for yourself. Because the more of the word of God you know, the less you wind up worrying, because God teaches you how to handle that word. And if you can't handle it, he tells you to cast it upon him, because he cares for you. So first thing I want you to know is, don't worry about nothing. Tell somebody next to you, don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not going to help anything. Matter of fact, if you worry, it suggests you don't have faith. And if you have faith, you don't worry. Because some way and somehow, God's going to work it out if you put your trust in him and believe his word. Matter of fact, Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may not understand how it's working out and when it's working out, but we do know why it's working out. Because God is working it out on our behalf. But the word says, but in everything. But in everything. That's the big things and the little things. The heavy things and the light things. The right things and the wrong things. When it says in everything, it means everything. See, if we pray about everything, we won't worry about anything. And so we've got to continue to feel the word of God in our hearts so that we will learn. Take this to the Lord in prayer. Everything. By three things. One, prayer. Prayer is simply communicating with God. It's simply talking with God, communing with God, ushering up to God, both praise and problems, etc., etc., etc. It's communicating with God. And truth of the matter is that a lot of believers don't know how to pray. But the best way to pray is to pray the word. If you fill your prayer with the word of God, Father, I thank you that you said in your word that I have life and that more abundantly. I thank you that this is a great day, not because of what's happening on the outside, but what's happening on the inside. Father, I thank you that you said, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. People messing with you on your job, you know, here and there, and haters all around. Father, I thank you that you said no weapon that is formed against the shell prosper. I mean, everything that you got an issue about, Father, I thank you that you said to give us this day our daily bread. If you feed the little sparrows, I know you can take care of me. Father, you said in your word, by your stripes, your son Jesus has given me the right to be healed. So I claim healing by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And when you begin to be in the word, ushering the word back to God, listen, you don't have to doubt whether or not God's going to do what God said he's going to do, because you're praying his word. God's got to back up his word every time. So by prayer, communicating with God, and the best communication is through God's word. Every need you have in your life, you can find it in his word. You just need to know the word. And then it moves on and say, with supplication, my prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is that part of prayer that is a earnest and sincere pleading, if you will. The supplication is where it's not just saying, Lord, I want this, or Lord, I need this, or Lord, I desire this. But it's a heartfelt request to God with an earnest spirit of, God, I truly want this. I truly need this. I truly desire this. It is a form of pleading with God to the point where you tell God, listen, God, I know you know my heart, and I want this so badly that I'm not ashamed to let you know this is what I desire. You're letting him know, God, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Not only do I know you can, but according to your word, I know you will. And so when you add supplication, it intensifies the prayer. It intensifies the need. And so when you do that, you let God know that you're serious and sincere, and that's what you want the most. I've shared these stories with you many times before about how when you want something, you stay right there until you get it. You know, it's not where you run up, Lord, I want this, Lord, I want that, Lord, I want that. I mean, what you really want, you just keep letting them know, God, I want this. I need this. I've got to have this, God. And you then make your supplication known unto God in your prayer. It's intensified request. And then you move on to the last part, with thanksgiving. I'm praying, but all of my prayers aren't petition. That's why prayer differs from supplication. But when I get to my supplication, that's a specific part of my prayer that I want God to do something about. And then because I believe according to the word, John tells us that if I know he hears me when I pray, I petition him, then I know I have the petition that I asked him for. So then it literally means I don't have to wait till I get it to start my praise party. I begin with thanksgiving, giving him the glory and the praise before it's all over. Now, this is so important because so many saints don't mind praying and they don't mind the supplication, but they leave off the thanksgiving. All right. You see, this is what makes the difference between those who know the word and believe the word and know that when they open their mouth and they speak this or that in Jesus' name, whom the Lord has already given that authority to. And Jesus said, you ask the Father in my name and he will do it for you. And when you know that you've asked the Father in the name of Jesus, then if you know he's going to do it for you, why do you have to wait till you get it to start praising him? I mean, the excitement ought to begin building as you're talking to your Father, because you know, first of all, the first reality is if he hears you. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the fact that my heart is clean and I can go to him as a child of God and tell him what I want, then I know once he gives me his ear, what's coming next is in his hand. Now, I can't always control, listen, when it's going to get here. I can't always control the delivery date, but I can confirm it's on the way. Did you hear what I just said? I can't always get a date on when it's going to get here, but I have confirmation before I'm through with my prayer request that it is on the way. I think you need to know that there are times when God releases things to you. But because this world is leased out to Satan for a limited time, God has to work within the parameters of what he has done in terms of leasing out this world to Satan. And so Satan is the prince of the air. And every now and then, he tries to block our blessings. And if he tries to block our blessings, then the best he can do is delay them. He can't deny them. Did you hear what I said? And every now and then, listen, when the enemy gets in the way of the blessings falling freely, we've got to go to God and let him know, listen, I've got my confirmation that you sent it, but I have not received it yet. Now, let me give you a helpful, holy hint as to what you need to do to get the tracking on your package. All you got to do is pick up where you left off on your praise party and lose yourself in thanking God and praising God and giving him glory. Because here's what you need to know. God is too honorable of a God to take thank you for something he doesn't deserve. So when you thank him in advance, he sends angels down and said, listen, you need to make a way and get that package there today. And so, my brothers and my sisters, you got the power in Christ Jesus to be able to speak those things that be not as though they were. The power of Christ and what he did on Calvary was not just a historical event, but it is a reality and a revelation of all of the promises and the blessings that God has for his people through him. And if you don't learn how to access that through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, then you're going to miss out on what God has for you. You have got to stake your claim. God's already said in his word, what's yours, what belongs to you, what you can have. But guess what? You've got to stake a claim. I've said this to you before. The newscasters came on television talking about all of the billions of dollars they got in unclaimed money and so forth and so on. Call, check and see if your name is on the list, etc. Now, they got my name. They got my address. Why don't they just send me my stuff? But they're going to hold on to it till I press my claim. Are y'all listening to me here? And so the point that I'm making very simply is that though it belongs to you, God wants to give it to you when you're ready to have it. And if you're ready to have it, you'll ask him for it. You'll believe him for it. And by faith, you will thank him for it even in advance. I'm closing now with a story of a woman who loved the Lord with all her heart. And that woman would be in church on Sunday mornings worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord like nobody's business. And on this one Sunday, she was dancing before the altar, hands lifted up to God. She said, God, I thank you for my new car. And she was praising and worshiping. Church was over. She went out the front door, went down the steps, went to the end of the block, caught the bus, went home. Next Sunday, she came back. God, I thank you for my new car. Hey, glory. Praise you. She praised the Lord. High praise. Service was over. She went out the front door, went down the steps, walked to the end of the block, caught the bus, went home. Third Sunday came. She was before the altar. Oh, God, glory. I thank you for my new car. Thank you, God. Glory, glory. And service was a little extended that day. But when it was over with, she walked out the front door, went down the steps, went to the end of the block, but the bus had passed her by because the service was too long. So she walked on back to the church steps, sat down on the steps to wait for the next bus. People had left, and pastor came out the door, and he saw the sister to his surprise. He said, oh, sister, is everything all right? And she said, yes, sir, pastor. He said, I heard you in praise, thanking God for the new car you have. He said, what's wrong? You didn't want to drive your new car to church? She said, no, that's not it, pastor. He said, well, is it some relative or somebody that you loaned your car while you were in church and they didn't get back to pick you up? She said, no, pastor, that's not it. He said, well, did you pick a lemon and it's broken? You got it in the shop? And she said, no, pastor. She said, let me just tell you, I don't have it yet. He said, but you were in church praising me, saying, thank you for my new car. Not like, Lord, I'm believing you for my new car. He was saying, thank you for my new car. He said, and I was under the impression you had already gotten the car. And she said, well, no, Pastor. She said, you know, God doesn't always move as fast as I'd like him to. When I first moved to the city, I needed a job, a good job, and I asked God for it. And he didn't move too quickly, but he gave it to me. She said, and then I asked God for a good, godly husband, somebody who would love him and worship him and treat me right. And he didn't answer too quickly, but he gave it to me. He said, and then the doctor told us that we couldn't have children. And I asked you to allow us to have offspring. And now we got two children. And I've learned, Pastor, that God doesn't always come when you want him. And she said, something else I learned, Pastor. She said, when I asked him for the job and he gave it to me, I didn't thank him till I cashed my first paycheck. She said, and when I asked him for that good husband, I didn't thank him till I was walking down the aisle. And he said, she said, when I asked him for the children, I didn't thank him again until I held them in my arm. So after seeing God's record and knowing that he's faithful, I decided I wouldn't wait till after I got my blessings. I decided that when I ask him for whatever it is I want, I begin thanking him and praising him in advance. And she said, my God, listen, he's always on time. You can't hurry, my God. You just have to wait. Have I got a witness in the house? Listen, trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Stay on top of trending headlines and important recalls with